much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Let me ask you a question. I have a question. I'm gonna take a little short quiz here. How many people are doing really well today? Can we have some thumbs up for all those that are doing well? Yay!
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Hi, it's Vince with ShamWow. You'll be saying wow every time you use this towel. It's like a chamois, it's like a towel, it's like a sponge. A regular towel doesn't work wet. This works wet or dry. This is for the house, the car, the boat, the RV. ShamWow holds 20 times its weight in liquid. Look at this. It just does the work.
That seems unlikely.
My first memory is I just love the buffets in Las Vegas. I love the flan. It has a lot of sugar. And it tastes less fattening because it's European dessert. And then I just like some of the syrup, flan syrup.
And now...
Do fat people repulse you?
Yes.
That answer is true.
Our feature presentation.
You guys remember that show, Moment of Truth?
Oh, is that what that was? Yes.
Remember they'd put people up there and they'd ask them embarrassing questions and then they'd have to
And their family would be around and they'd did they have a lie detector?
Yes, they hooked them up to a lie detector and they asked questions like, you secretly hate your mother-in-law. And then they'd have to answer true or false and then everybody would see what their answer was.
Oh, my God. Who would go on that show?
That's what we used to ask all the time. That was one of the all-time low points of reality TV right there.
Oh, my God.
I hadn't thought about that show in a long time. And by the way, whatever happened to Doto while we're thinking about things we just mentioned in the intro? Where's he? Where's the International Man of Mystery? We haven't talked to him in a long time.
Yep, that's right.
That guy. What do you need him for?
And where's Vince with the ShamWow? When was the last time you saw Vince on the TV? Didn't he have some sort of problem? Didn't he get arrested or something?
Yeah, he like punched a hooker or something.
Yeah,
he got in a
that's
fight
what
with
was.
A hooker.
So maybe he lost all those gigs. I don't know. Just a lot of questions today in the open. That's all I'm saying. Very dissatisfied. Very unsettled with all the things I don't know today. How are you, Lisa?
I'm good. Walked through a spider web this morning. That's the
nice.
Thing I don't know. How do they go from one bush and then across a walkway like? 2 feet to the, like, do they go down and then walk on the sidewalk and then go back up with the web? Do they jump?
They fly.
They fly?
Spiders like Spider-Man. They fly like Spider-Man. You know how Spider-Man does it. Where do you think Spider-Man gets it from?
I've never seen him do that. Have you?
No, but I mean, I think it'd be easy to miss, too. It's unbelievable how fast spiders are at making webs, too.
Yeah, I know, because it wasn't there yesterday.
Yeah.
I walked into, like, my whole face was covered. It was so gross.
I've parked my car before and walked outside 5 minutes later, and there have been spider webs on the windows. I don't know how they do it. It's just they're amazing. So,
it's another thing I don't know about.
Exactly. That's this day, I'm already so behind now with all the things I now have to research. But let me tell you this story. You guys are going to love this. If you only listened to the Kevin and Bean Show, you might think that there's no reason to ever drink because it seems like about 90% of the stories that we do for you involve people getting in trouble, bad behavior. You're getting arrested, something, as a result of alcohol.
Yes.
And that's because those are the stories that make the news. Of course, there's millions and millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of people who drink every day that don't get in any trouble. They just drink and go about their lives and they're fine. But then there's this guy, and his name is George Bodecker, and he was arrested this week in Colorado. He is 51 years old. He is a shoe mogul, Lisa. He is one of the guys who founded the Crocs shoe company. You know the Crocs, little plastic shoes?
I do. They're hideous, but very popular.
Extremely popular. He is a multi-millionaire. One of the Crocs founders, also a philanthropist. So he's passed out behind the wheel of his black Porsche Carrera, and he gets reported to the police. This is all according to the Denver Post. So police show up, and he's there, and he is faced. I mean, he is super, super drunk. And the officers come up to him. They go, "What's going on here, sir?" And he says, I wasn't driving. My really effing famous 22-year-old girlfriend was driving." And the officer's like, "Okay, is she around?" And he says, "Maybe you're familiar with Taylor Swift. Maybe you know who she is."
What?
"And no, she's not here. She is my girlfriend. She was driving the car, but now she's in Nashville, and she's also crazy."
What?
This is what he's telling the police officers, okay? Taylor Swift is his girlfriend. She was driving. She's drunk, but now she's in Nashville. He refused to do the breathalyzer, refused to do the maneuvers, you know, the exercises that they have on the side of the road. "I'm not doing your effing maneuvers," he said. The officer asked, "Where do you live, sir?" He says, "I have 17 effing houses."
Oh, my God.
How awesome.
I love this guy.
I love this guy, too. He is free on $500 bond. And by the way, in case you're wondering, he was not wearing Crocs at the time of his arrest. He was actually in flip-flops.
I bet he does have 17 houses, too.
I wouldn't be surprised by that. But
awesome.
What a shame you're dating Taylor Swift, and she gets you in all that trouble by driving your car.
I know. That's
and then
terrible.
Leaving and then teleporting to Nashville right as the police show up, hanging you out to dry like that.
We know she's trouble.
That's a bitch move right there.
It really is.
I am never going to drink again, ever.
George Bodecker, Kevin and Bean Citizen of the Day right there. All right, all new Kevin and Bean Show today. Let's find out what's going on.
That is an incredibly silly thing to say.
I don't know if that's true, because today is the day, finally, ladies and gentlemen, that we unveil the Beer Mug Homeless video.
Yes! Waiting for this. He won't say a word about what happened.
Keeping it under wraps. I want everybody to be surprised.
You have, yeah.
I'm going to tell you something, and this is going to be shocking, Lisa. You're not going to believe I'm going to say these words, but Beer Mug is really good at something.
That is true, Bean.
I did not think there was anything that Beer Mug was really good at, but I'm surprised he would make and will make an excellent homeless guy.
Very true.
That's really good. I'm very curious as to how difficult of work that is, because to me it seems terrible.
Well, Muggs,
like a terrible
hustles.
Thing to have to do.
Yeah,
Muggs really took it seriously and hustled, and really, I was impressed. I got to be honest.
Wow.
So we'll put the video up at krock.com in just a few minutes, and we'll have some highlights for you.
A lot of downtime in this job.
Well, there is that. I mean, you gotta
he's still
keep
got the flea beard, by the way.
I know. What's up with that? What do we have to do to get that thing shaved off? Also, a hilarious conversation with our friend Ray Romano very late in the show yesterday because he overslept for his early appearance. We have highlights of that for you coming up just after the top of the hour. We're going to talk about that story. I think it happened, was she in England? Is that where Posh stiffed the restaurant? She went out for dinner and didn't leave a tip. Was that in England?
I think it was here because Ralph was telling the story and he said that they don't normally tip in England. So she was over here, yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. So Victoria Beckham, Posh Spice, of course, who I was thinking this story might have had something to do with her appearance at the Olympics. Apparently, she was still at home in the United States and left a $0 tip on a large order. And it's not just celebrities. There are other people who do that, too. And why? We're going to discuss today. We're going to be wanting to hear from servers. We didn't get to this yesterday, but Arnold Schwarzenegger now is running a think tank. He may not be the first choice that you might have to run a group of unbelievably smart people talking about unbelievably smart things. But we'll find out more about that today. Adam Carolla on the show today. He's back with This Week in Rage. Also, I got talked into because the first go-round of the Honey Boo Boo Child television show recap apparently was very popular with my coworkers and with the listeners.
God bless you, Bean.
I got talked into doing episode 2. I got talked into more Honey Boo Boo. Right.
You are my hero. I cannot wait for Honey Boo Boo.
She and her family are... What? They're redneckulous is what they are.
Oh, that's perfect.
That's what Honey Boo Boo says. They're redneckulous. I mean, you just can't believe what goes on in this family. You can't believe that Child Services hasn't come and taken all of them away.
You know, you take the stereotype and then multiply it by 100.
Yes,
and now you
exactly.
have them.
They need to put the family down is what they need to do. And I know that sounds extreme, but you can't. Stop. Right?
That's not how people should behave.
Exactly. I totally agree with that. Plus, Ralph's got the showbiz beat, too. And that's coming up next right here on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock. There's the Grateful Dead, I guess, on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. That's what it always sounds like at the end of that song to me.
Yes. Very fishy. 550,
yeah, definitely. 552. Yeah. Ralph is here, feeling great, looking great.
Woo!
Excited about a new day here on the Kevin
Why not?
Show.
It's America, V. Before I get to showbiz news, how about some tickets to the screening, special K-Rock advance screening of Premium Rush?
Yay!
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Joseph Gordon-Levitt on a bike. And he becomes Batman. It's very exciting.
I don't think he becomes Batman.
It's on the Sony lot. You get to go to the studio to see this film Thursday, August the 23rd. theaters everywhere will have Premium Rush on the 24th, but you'll see it before anybody else. If you're one of the first three callers right now to 1-800-520-1067, call that number right now. Tell them I sent you. First three callers, boom. Pair of passes to the Premium Rush advanced screening. Bobby Brown. Oh, let's see where I can find it. See what there.
Celebrities. Here we go. They love to party. How up can they get? Who's putting down the needle or drying out? It's time for Rehab Roulette.
I guess it's not really much of a bet since I said the name of a person just before I played that little theme song.
Is it Bobby Brown?
It is Bobby Brown. Bean, you win. Rehab Roulette. Whitney Houston's ex-husband, singer and rapper Bobby Brown, has checked himself into rehab. His new wife, Alicia Etheridge, confirmed that Bobby is attempting to beat his addictions once and for all. Word is that Bobby has checked himself in this time to deal with his alcohol abuse issues. He was arrested for drunk driving in March, so we'll see if it takes. We'll see.
Would you have at any time in the last 20 years bet that Whitney Houston would die before Bobby Brown?
No, I would not have.
Unbelievable.
Former sweat hog Ron Palillo has passed away. For those of you who don't remember the ABC sitcom Welcome Back, Cotter, it was a big time. It was a big thing in this day. Big
John
deal.
John Travolta
got his big break on that show playing a character named Barbarino. And Ron Palillo actually was another breakout star. He played Horshack.
Oh, yeah.
On that show. And
well, he wasn't that old.
He was only, doesn't say here. How
63.
Old 63. There you go. He was 63 years old. Passed away at a Palm Beach, Florida hospital from a massive heart attack, they say.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So you never know, man, when your time's
up. First of all, who's killing all the sweat hogs? It seems like there needs to be some investigation. Because didn't we just lose Epstein earlier this year as well?
Epstein, Robert Hedges, died at the age of 60 earlier this year.
Yeah. There's something weird going on. And secondly, I have terrible gaydar. I have no gaydar whatsoever. I had no idea that Horshack was gay.
Yes.
He leaves behind his partner, Lisa, mm-hmm. of 41 years.
No kidding. I didn't know that either.
How about that? 41 years they were together.
That's amazing.
Thank God they can't get married.
That's right. You don't want that kind of promiscuity infecting our marriage vows. Good news, though. Freddie Boom Boom Washington is still alive. So,
oh, thank God.
It all works out. While we're talking about gaydar, Rashida Jones was talking in an interview this week, and she said John Travolta should just come out of the closet.
Oh, that's bold.
That is bold. I agree with Rashida Jones.
I think she should be afraid.
Don't start your own car, Rashida. Katy Perry celebrated her brother's birthday at a bar called Bootsy Bellows here in Los Angeles on Friday, and apparently he's got a band. So he was performing, and she went to see him hanging out with Leonardo DiCaprio, Naya Rivera, Cord Overstreet, and Kevin McHale from Glee.
Oh, wow.
Wow, that's like a party.
Quite the evening. And Bam Margera has learned the hard way that drinking and flying is not always a good combination. Employees in Charlotte, North Carolina refused to let him get on a flight because they claimed he smelled like a distillery and was swearing like a sailor.
Mm.
Fortunately, he didn't take the news so well, became loud and combative. Officers had to be called, they responded, and they gave him some accommodations in the airport's holding cell. So,
you're not allowed to fly if you're drunk, right?
No.
I mean, that's usually the policy?
That's FAA right
they
there.
They just don't want to risk somebody getting too out of hand up there in a plane, I guess.
I think they want to keep all their options
wetting
well in
their
control.
Seat.
Yeah. Give them the breathalyzer!
That's right, like Gérard Depardieu.
Yes.
Making wee-wee. In the aisle. Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Jennifer Lawrence.
Oh, what a career.
Hunger Games star, Winter Bone star.
Yeah.
I'd like to give her my summer bone. It's summertime. Yeah.
And she seems down to earth and smart and sweet and nice. I mean, she just seems like a total package.
Yes.
That one.
I call her the anti-Taylor Swift. That's what I call her. That's how great she seems.
Dare you.
22 years old today.
You heard about Taylor Swift driving that guy's car, right?
Yeah.
That story I did at
See, I told you she was a bitch. She leaves her boyfriend
right
behind to deal with the cops while she goes off to Nashville.
Teleports back to Nashville before the cops arrive. That's crappy.
Actor-singer Carlos Pena of Big Time Rush is 23 years old today. Joe Jonas of the Jonas Brothers is also 23. Natasha Henstridge celebrates her 38th birthday. Ben Affleck is 40 years old today. Anthony Anderson is 42. And actress Deborah Messing, who can be seen on Smash on NBC, she's 44. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
More highlights of the Honey Boo Boo Child television show on TLC coming up later on today. Adam Carolla, This Week in Rage as well. So a couple of weeks ago, a friend of Kevin's came in, a guy who's a police officer, and told us, and we were stunned by this, that there are homeless people out there that are making enormous, enormous money. I mean, $50 an hour, $100 an hour, $200 an hour, some of these guys. And we thought, how is that possible? Because in our minds, the people who are pulling over to the freeway on-ramp, you know, maybe they're giving them a dollar. If they're super generous or super rich, maybe they're giving them five. But if you're making $100, $200 an hour, either you have to have hundreds of people donating or you have to have people giving 20s. And that doesn't seem likely, right?
I can't imagine people giving that much money.
I can't either. So we wanted to find out about this. It took a while to get this going, but we managed to put Beer Mug out on the street as our homeless guy as a test. Now, of course, this doesn't mean there aren't still other people out there making, you know, even more money or making even less money than Beer Mug did. But Beer Mug, we've been dying to talk about this, and you haven't been able to until the video was posted, which was this morning at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. You can see the video. I want to hear about your experience. First of all, how did you homeless it up? Not that you needed much help in that area.
Well, I just went into my closet and just got some old clothes that I didn't wear. Mm-hmm. And I tore a hole in the hoodie I was wearing. I layered up, you know, thinking, you know, if a guy's going to be on the street, he needs to look like he, you know, that's all he has, or right. He needs to stay warm, you know.
Smart.
And I got some shoes, some old shoes, took out the laces, rolled around in the dirt, and there was my outfit.
What did you do to your face? Because I was amazed at how homeless that looked.
All that required was me not taking a shower in the morning, and just, you know, face gets a little greasy, and I just rubbed my beard around, you know, to make it look disheveled, and I just greased up my hair.
Oh, yeah. Man.
There was no question that Muggs was going to be our guinea pig, by the way, because he was the one who needed the fewest transformations to look homeless.
Yeah, it was very easy.
So you can see the video at kevinandbean.com or krock.com, but let's go through some of the highlights. Beerberg, of course, you know, he gets started. Let's find out what the project's all about.
It's 12:15, and I'm heading out. Thank you. Not even 2 minutes, I already got a dollar. I'm loving it.
He's loving it. So far, it's great. So far, it's the easiest and the best job you've ever had. So how many cars went by you before you started getting paid?
Right when I stepped on the center median, it was the second car in line. Just opened her window and just stuck out the dollar. Aww. I was like, oh my gosh. I just stepped onto the median. This is insane.
And did you feel, I mean, I know that you know, knew why you were there. You weren't trying to scam anyone, and we are donating the money to the LA Mission. So it's, you know, the money is going to help homeless people. But did you feel like sort of like weird and creepy and guilty by taking their money, knowing that you're not a homeless guy?
Well, not only that, Bean, but when I got out there and I was standing out there, the fact that my parents always used to tell me, hey, if you don't do this, you know, if you don't go to school, study up, you're going to be homeless. And it was kind of surreal. Like, I was homeless for the first time in my life. And it was kind of, no offense to, you know, the homeless people and the unfortunate people. I almost felt degraded. You know,
well, because yes, I was walking out begging.
Right. I was walking out into public.
Yeah.
You know, looking like, you know, what I looked like. And it was
I'm sure it is. It's very difficult for the psyche.
Yeah.
To have to do that.
Well, we'll hear as we go through this tape. I think Beer Mug starts to honestly believe he's homeless. I think he starts to lose his mind a little bit just being out there, you know, 45 minutes or so in the heat. Beer Mug has one thing going for him, and I think this really helped. He was very polite.
Thank you so much. God bless. Oh, no, it's all right. Thank you. Have a good day.
She dropped, dropped her coins on the ground or something like
that.
Pick it up, homeless man.
Polite was a good angle, and I got to give you props for the God bless, too, because I think that there is a spiritual element to this, too, and people feel like they're, you know, doing the Lord's will when they donate to the less fortunate, I think.
Yeah.
I think you tapped into something there with the God bless. I think that worked for you, Muggs.
Yeah, it did. I mean, you know, people see you on, you know, and they kind of, their heartstrings are pulled, and that's, you know, I didn't want to, you know, just not say anything. I wanted to, you know.
And some guys don't. All right, here's early returns. Let's see how he's doing so far. A few minutes in.
A lot of looks. She's not looking. I would estimate I'm already at $2. $2 in 10 minutes.
He's thinking the wheels are spinning in his head now.
It's a dollar every 5 minutes.
How do you do that math?
I'm good at math.
He's good at math. That's how he does it, Lisa.
It's such an interesting moment when you see someone on the street and you kind of look down because you know you're not going to give them money. You don't really want to make eye contact. At the same time, you don't really want to ignore them because that seems rude.
I don't know. Yes. Bean, do you is there the audio clip of me talking to the girl in the BMW or no?
Yeah, okay. I think so.
Okay.
Well, we'll find out when we get there. Okay. Let me know if I miss it. But yeah, we don't have time for all of it.
Okay.
But yeah, you're absolutely right, Lisa, because you're in a spot where you can't win, really, unless you give money. I mean, and that's the goal. And, and Muggs, by the way, has those soulful eyes and that puppy dog look, and he just looks like, I don't know, I just think he's found his calling. I really do. I mean, radio is not Beer Mug's calling, right? We all know that.
It's true.
He's not qualified for fast food. I mean, there's most things Beer Mug can't do. I think being homeless is perfect for him. And listen, already, he's been on the street 10 minutes. Listen to how he's already refined his rap.
Change for the homeless. I take quarters, nickels, pennies, half dollars, Susan B. Anthony, sack of Jawias. Pennies, cigarettes, anything.
Are you delirious in the heat already?
The cigarette line, it was quite hot that day, and the heat started to get to me.
Muggs, ramping up the religion again.
Thank you so much. Oh, wow.
Look after yourself.
Oh, God bless you.
Aww.
Your soul is going to heaven.
I hope so.
You're the coolest one of all your friends.
I don't know about that.
Yes, you are.
Now the homeless guy's hitting on the lady.
Yeah.
Keep rolling with her. She's good. Thank you. God bless.
God bless, man. I'm telling you, that's what works.
Yeah.
It's very smart.
Yeah.
Now, this is interesting because this happened to you more than once when you were out on the street for your hour, Beer Mug. People pull up and give you food.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Oh, Beer Mug, that's the best. That's really what you want.
Three people. Yeah, exactly. For me. Three people gave me their food out of their lunch.
And think about this for a second, by the way. If part of the reason you donate to homeless people on the street is because you think they're hungry, they're probably not hungry.
Right.
They're probably getting food. They're probably eating as much as they want.
Exactly. And, you know, it's funny because I've heard people, you know, I've given food to the homeless. I walk away right after so I never see what happens. But I've heard, you know, people, you know, they've given food to them and the homeless person just kind of throws the food away.
So well, often they don't really want
food. Because there's stuff from the last guy that gave them food.
Well, what did they give you? What kind of food?
Well, here you go, Lisa. Listen up.
Granola bar?
Yeah! Thank you so much.
Granola bar.
Thank you so much. I'm going to eat that right now. Thank you.
And by the way, Beer Mug did. He stuffed everything everybody handed him, no matter whether it was poison or not. He just put it right in his face.
That was the thing, too. I wanted to make sure, you know, they saw me eating it.
That's good.
Beer Mug is now at this point, like I said, he's been out there about 35 minutes or something like that. He's starting to lose his mind a little bit. He's starting to react and talk to people in cars that are going by.
Turn that song up. That's my jam.
See me on the first date.
Now he is a homeless guy muttering to himself.
Yeah.
What song is that, Beer Mug? What are you singing?
I don't know.
He's stuffing his face. He's singing. He's jumping around like a crazy
person. Sounds fun.
I think he's having a great time. Yep. I really do.
Dave said it was Usher. It was Usher that I was singing.
Beer Mug is trying to engage. He's trying to get conversations going with every car that goes by now.
How's it going, man? Anything helps. What year is that? 87? I like it. I gotta push down my money so it doesn't look like I have that much.
Oh, see, now that's a good tip right there, too, right?
Right, and it was funny. I was driving home yesterday right in front of the station, and there's an actual, you know, legit homeless guy there. He was standing there, Bean and Lisa, counting. He was rolling his ones, just counting. And I was like, are you kidding me right now?
You should pull over and give him a tip.
He's got a stack, I'm telling you.
The heat is starting to get to Mugs.
We got a boysenberry fruit roll-up. There is sweat dripping down my ass into my crack. Give me the cash. Being homeless is hard work.
It is hard work. And finally, after just under an hour on the street, and again, you can see this video right now at kevinandbean.com or krock.com, here's the thrilling conclusion of Beer Mug's homeless experiment.
I just made $14 in change in an hour. That's more than I make with Kevin and Bean. That means I have a new job, ladies and gentlemen. See ya.
Oh, we can only hope. We can only hope.
Bean's dream come true.
Beer Mug homeless guy. And by the way, $14 isn't $50. It isn't $100. Isn't $200 like we heard some people make. That's more money than a lot of people listening are making right now at their jobs. And they're probably working a lot harder than Beer Mug was.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I bet he'd have better hours at different times of day. Like, he'd get better at it.
Non-taxed.
That's true.
Non-taxed is an important thing. Yeah, that's $14. That's takeaway, $14. Yeah. So, I mean, that's, you know, that's 20-something bucks an hour.
But I don't want, from this video, I don't want people to, you know, look at homeless people in a different, like, they're all cheating and scamming. But it is possible for somebody like me to go out who's not homeless and appear homeless and make money.
And make a pretty good living, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I got to tell you, and I know I said this before, but seriously, you, my friend, have found your calling.
There it is.
Really have found the thing that you are good at.
Hey, Lisa, can you run the board right now? I got to go outside.
Oh, you know I can.
Perfect.
Well done.
Awesome.
Thanks for tuning into the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Wednesday morning. By the way, a couple of listeners have suggested, I wonder how much a hot chick makes.
Doing the homeless thing out on the street.
More money, and then you get a chick with a dog. Home run.
Chick with a dog.
Yeah. Home run.
Chick with no legs with a dog. Now you're talking.
I don't know how to make that up.
Although it's tough to find a hot chick with no legs and a dog. I guess that's asking a lot. Hey, let's take a look at some email. We've been getting a lot of great response to a lot of great things here on the program. Things that we've either have done on the air that people want to comment on or things that people want to tip us off to. Here's one that was a response to the topic we did a couple of weeks ago about how do you or do you even ever bring up to your wife or girlfriend that maybe she's gained a little weight. Remember we talked about this because Dr. Drew had it on his HLN show and there's a big argument about, look, chicks know when they've gained weight. They know when they've gained weight before you do, so it's kind of pointless to bring it up. But then the other side of the equation is somebody's got to say something or it keeps going, right?
Right.
Eric writes in, hey, Kevin and Bean, I had been dropping hints to my wife for about a week that she gained weight without any response until one night she was grabbing some ice cream for the freezer and I said, so, you're not buying light anymore, huh? Well, this led to a huge fight and her screaming that men do not say those sorts of things to their wives. Long story short, I got a text from her the next day apologizing for yelling at me because she had stepped on the scale and realized that she had, in fact, put on 30 pounds. Since then, she's been on a diet and has lost 25 of them. Popo's out. Eric.
Oh, wow. She so didn't know she'd put on 30 pounds? Like, none of her clothes fit? That was a shock?
Maybe she knew that. Who knows? I mean, I think women weigh themselves like 5 times a day. That's been my experience anyway. But maybe she knew she had gained weight but was surprised that it was that much. I don't know. But the point is, I guess I guess there was a moment when he brought it up to her that maybe she thought she could get away with it until he started to complain and now maybe I got to do something about it.
We do fool ourselves into thinking you don't notice.
We don't notice. Exactly right. Dear Kevin and Bean, this is from Nick, who listens to us online in Abilene, Texas. Thank you, Nick. You have asked many times on the show why celebrities don't get drivers. Seems like every week on the Showbiz Beat, Ralph's got another story about another celebrity who gets in another accident. Sometimes it's their third or fourth or DUI, or they get arrested, or they fall asleep behind the wheel. Why don't they just get drivers, right?
Right.
I don't get it either, says Nick. I had a seizure behind the wheel in 2003, and I was advised that I should not drive for 6 months. I would not consider myself loaded by any means, but I went and I bought a new wheelbase 7 Series BMW and hired a professional driver full-time, and it wasn't that expensive. I'd like to know what he thinks. It's not that expensive, by the way. Then I could go out and enjoy myself at restaurants, clubs, concerts. My guy was always right out front waiting. And by the way, as an aside, I never got so much action in my life. I liked it so much that I kept the driver for 2 years. I don't even drink anymore, so it doesn't seem as fun. I did get tons of work done in the back when I would be going places, but my life is so much different now. I've moved to a small town with no traffic. Yeah, I would imagine that would be kind of impressive to the ladies. Oh, my driver's waiting for us out front.
He was smart to get a new car, though, because you really couldn't pull that off with a 10-year-old car.
An 85 Nissan is not going to impress anybody, right? Bottom line is I think people don't want to hire a driver because they feel like they'd be putting on airs. But when you have substance abuse issues like I did, it is safer and cheaper in the long run to just do it right. You have to think about the safety of other people. I'll repeat, I am not some insanely rich guy, and I did it. That's interesting. I don't know that I've ever heard of a regular guy doing it. I never even thought about that. It seems to me like it's always just super rich CEOs or celebrities or something like that, but I guess it's possible.
But you don't think celebrities don't do it because they don't want to put on airs, the ones that have issues. It's because they don't want anyone to have to know exactly what they're doing and when they're doing it.
Yeah, you're probably right. They want the privacy.
Yeah.
Exactly. We did a story just a few days ago. We were talking about crazy things as a result of the Nitro Circus movie, crazy things that you and your friends have dared each other to do, stunts that you've tried. Here's Matt. Me and my buddy always threw bonfires at Huntington Beach. On numerous occasions, we would stack about 5 or 6 pallets of wood, like the kind you get behind the supermarket, on top of the fire. We'd let it get started, and then we'd jump on top of it and see how long we could stay up there.
Oh, my God.
I have pictures of me with the flames licking my ass for proof that I was not too bright.
They're burning themselves at the stake for fun.
Seriously. I mean, I mean, I guess you can get away from something like that as long as you don't actually catch fire. I guess you could just jump off at some point. But still, yeah, it does sound like you're putting yourself in danger there. Hector writes in, frequent Kevin and Bean listener Hector, I don't know why people are coming down so hard on Chad Ochocinco being released from the Dolphins. The first month anniversary of marriage is traditionally a headbutt. What, do these people not know that? Followed by the 6 month eye poke, then you get to 1 year with paper and so on. I'm not going to chastise Chad for just being a traditional romantic, so shame on the Dolphins, says Hector. Well, all right. I hadn't heard about that. I didn't know that. And finally, here's one. The Kevin and Bean Show has never been accused of doing good in the world, right?
No, never.
We can say a lot of things about our show, but we're not about helping people, that's for sure. Jeremy writes in, as a loyal Kevin and Bean listener, despite living in Virginia, I wanted to tell you guys how your show helped me diagnose and subsequently begin to treat a disorder I never realized I had. Growing up, I always knew I was a little bit different, but never understood why. While I was never what you could call awkward in social situations, I was never comfortable either. I held interests that others never shared, told stories that others were never interested in. Let me know when this starts to sound familiar to you, Lisa. Preferred a life of seclusion away from friends and family. No one could ever put a finger on what was wrong per se, but growing up in the 80s without the buzz that autism currently has around it, I was never diagnosed with anything other than being a weird little kid. Well, so far this is sounding very familiar.
Mm-hmm.
When college came around, excuse me, and the stress of social situations became much more difficult for me to handle, I began to seek outside help. I had various diagnoses and subsequent treatments, obsessive compulsive disorder, bipolar disorder, social anxiety disorder. Each one was offered as a possibility, but nothing quite fit. That was until I started listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, and about a year ago, you received one of your on-air Asperger's tests. Between laughing at your complete and utter denial, I realized I was answering yes to every single question posed. I decided to test myself. Not happy with the initial results, I took another test and another, and they all came back yes. 4 different autism spectrum tests, 4 identical results with a follow-up with a medical professional. I now had a name for what was different about me. It is Asperger's syndrome. The diagnosis has allowed me to seek the proper treatment for my condition and hopefully make my day-to-day life a little easier. Thank you, Ralph and Kevin, for your endless haranguing, Lisa May for being hot, and Bean for your complete denial. Remember, Bean, we are the special ones. And by the way, he didn't put special in quotes, but I suspect that's what he means. Thanks for a great show, Jeremy in Virginia.
Wait, let me get this straight. Jeremy took the test, got yes on everything, like you.
Yes.
And then he took another test, got yes on everything, like you.
Yes.
And then actually admitted he had it and got help. And his life is going to be better.
Unlike you. Can't hear you. We have this song to play, Lisa. Sorry. You can email any of us on the show at krock.com, whatever name you're trying to reach. Also, the Kevin and Bean Twitter account and Kevin and Bean on Facebook, too.
Asperger. He's the man with misfiring synapse. And he loves maps. He really loves maps. He digs those maps.
Thank you, Lisa. Ralph Garman is here with the Showbiz Beat on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph, before you get started, you mentioned that you broke the news late in the show yesterday, but I want to make sure our early listeners know. The return of Joe Schmo on Spike next year. Let's hear it for Joe Schmo.
Spike has revived the Joe Schmo series. We're doing a show. It'll be in January of next year called The Joe Schmo Show, The Full Bounty. Because that is the name of the fake reality show that we created this time to take a unsuspecting person on a adventure of a lifetime. So we built a show around this guy, and it's called The Full Bounty. I play a bounty hunter who is simultaneously hosting a competition reality show and also offering $100,000 and a year's contract to be a bounty hunter for me. If you win the competition, and we created this crazy show, and we brought a guy in, and we gave him the ride of a lifetime. So it'll be on in January. Yeah,
I can't wait. I mean, it's been so long since the last one. How many years did you say?
8 years.
And people still remember. You still have people coming up to you who talk about Joe Schmo.
Absolutely, all over the country. I mean, I've been in New York. I've been in my home city of Philadelphia. I've been all over the country. People come up and say, weren't you the guy who with the thing? And then they start talking about their favorite episode of one of the Joe Schmoes. So, yeah,
well,
it's great.
Congratulations. We're very excited to see it. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it'll be January of next year. And it's me and Lorenzo Lamas and a great cast of very talented people. So
excited to see that.
Yeah, Lorenzo's a stitch, as they say in the business. Before I get to showbiz news, how about some tickets for an advanced screening of a movie called Premium Rush?
Yay!
And you get to go over to the Sony lot Thursday, August the 23rd, and see a special K-Rock advanced screening. And then the movies in theaters everywhere on the 24th. But you'll have seen it already by then. Lucky you. 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. First two people through with that number will get a pair of passes, and you'll see Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Michael Shannon in Premium Rush. Michael Shannon's such a good actor, by the way.
He's the best.
You know him from Boardwalk Empire, of course. He's going to be General Zod in the new Superman movie that's coming out. So, cool stuff. While we're talking about movies, Kristen Stewart's schedule just got considerably lighter. She has been dumped from the sequel to Snow White and the Huntsman.
No way. Get real.
Yes. Universal was planning a sequel to the film starring Kristen and Chris Hemsworth, and now they've decided they're just going to spin the Huntsman off into his own movie and leave Snow White behind.
Same director?
Now, no word whether Rupert Sanders will be returning as director or not, but they know for sure that Kristen Stewart will not be returning as Snow White.
Ouch.
Because she did famously have an affair with him on the set of that film. And I guess Universal has decided they don't want the bad publicity.
They're
so.
Slowly stepping away.
let me just say this, though. It seems like bring Kristen Stewart back, don't bring the director back. Kristen Stewart's more of a draw than whoever directed this movie that we've never heard of.
That
right?
was the plan, but they think Chris Hemsworth is a bigger draw than either of them, so they're just going to spin him off, and the Huntsman's going to have his own adventure without Snow White.
Oh, I see. Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, so just going to be and the Huntsman. That'll be the sequel.
Whore.
Tim Roth has a new role. He's, of course, the star of TV's Lie to Me and Reservoir Dogs and Pulp Fiction. He's going to be playing Prince Rainier, the third, Grace Kelly's husband of Monaco. Yeah, is it Rainier or Renee? Or how do you say that?
I think it's Rainier.
Rainier,
yeah.
Right?
Rainier.
Yeah.
Depends
Nicole, on how French you want to be.
Nicole Kidman is playing Grace Kelly in the upcoming film Grace of Monaco, and he will be playing her husband in that film.
This a movie for the theaters?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. That's odd.
You didn't know they were making that, Bean?
I
You're
don't
a big
know that
Grace
I,
Kelly fan.
I am. I don't know that I did. I guess I'm a little bit surprised. I didn't think anyone cared anymore. That's interesting.
It's the story of the end of her life.
Story.
The end of her life and then her untimely death, I think is what they're going to take.
Gotcha.
And while we're talking about untimely deaths, Ron Palillo, star of Welcome Back, Kotter, has passed away. For those of you who remember Welcome Back, Kotter, he was Arnold Horshack, one of the sweat hogs on that show. Oh, Mr. Kotter. He had a goofy laugh like that. He suffered a heart attack in West Palm Beach, Florida. His longtime partner, Joseph Graham, rushed him to the hospital where he was pronounced dead. The Welcome Back, Kotter show went off the air in 1979. He went on to host a bunch of host of bit parts like on Love Boat and A-Team and stuff like that. But now he was teaching acting at a high school in West Palm Beach,
really?
Florida when he passed away.
Yeah.
You know who he was? A lot of our listeners have never heard of Welcome Back, Kotter. He was the Screech of the 70s.
Yes.
It was that exact same annoying, geeky character.
But he wasn't a jerk in real life.
No.
I don't think.
He also, speaking of Screech, squared off against Screech in the celebrity boxing. If you
he
remember
did that?
That? Yeah, they got into the ring together.
Mm-hmm.
God. And Horseshack got his ass kicked.
Oh, that's sad.
That is sad.
Bang, bang, bang.
Yeah,
bang,
it was bang, bang, bang,
bang,
bang, bang. And Donna Derrico from Baywatch is trying to prove more that she can do more rather than just run across a beach in a swimsuit. She is trying to hunt down biblical history. She went on an expedition to find Noah's Ark.
Okay.
Near Mount Ararat in Turkey.
Well, no one else has done that, so
that's
I think
right.
She has a good chance.
No one's been looking for that.
The trip didn't go so well. Apparently, she took a nasty fall and wound up with cuts on her mouth, cheek, and leg. Despite the pain, Donna says she's determined to finish the trip and plans to return for another quest next month. She is going to find that ark.
Hey, is she doing
Donna,
this on her own?
Donna doesn't exist. Go home.
She's trying to help her out. Sounds like she's having a hard time.
Oh. It would be pretty cool if she found it, though.
Doesn't exist.
Look, there were a lot of people who looked for the Titanic for many years before somebody found it, but at least we knew that was real.
Yeah, someone saw that before it sank. That's the only difference in that Noah's Ark. Today's celebrity birthday is Jennifer Lawrence. She, of course, of The Hunger Games and Winter's Bone. She's 22 years old today. Actor-singer Carlos Pena of Big Time Rush is 23. Joe Jonas of the Jonas Brothers is also 23. Natasha Henstridge celebrates her 38th birthday. Ben Affleck is 40. Anthony Anderson, very talented actor, is 42. And Deborah Messing, of Will and Grace, of course, and now can be seen on Smash on NBC.
I'm going to give her a bell, by the way.
I think she's lovely.
I think she's adorable.
She's 44 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Lack of commitment to the end of that song, mm-hmm. as far as I'm concerned. Just if you can't maintain your enthusiasm for your own song 3.5 minutes in, I don't know what to say. Nirvana on K-Rock, the great Alex Clare song Too Close is coming up for you next. We also got Jimmy Eat World, some Cage the Elephant on the way. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on the world-famous K-Rock. It is 7:06. Arnold Schwarzenegger, he's no longer the governor of the great state of California, but he has been staying busy. As you know, he has a beefed-up role in the new Expendables 2 movie that opens up everywhere on Friday. I won't go see it, of course, Lisa, but I will tell you that I enjoy the trailer very much. It looks really, really good.
What do they need to do to get you to see it?
I know. Beyond making the movie look good, what else can they do, right?
Yeah.
Well, Arnold is not only doing acting, he also has another new gig. He announced just last week that he has co-founded the Schwarzenegger Institute for State and Global Policy at the University of Southern California. That is a lot of words. I have no idea what a foundation like that does, but we wanted to find out more about it, so we asked producer Dave if there's any way we could get the former governor on the phone, and I believe Arnold Schwarzenegger joins us now on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hey, Governor, how are you?
Welcome to FizzGip. Can I help you?
What is it?
FizzGip?
FizzGip. That's the Schwarzenegger Institute for State and Global Policy.
I see. Yeah, maybe don't answer the phone.
SIFSGP.
Yeah, that doesn't roll off the tongue at all.
Visgip.
Look, I know that you have been active in politics for many, many years, and of course you were the governor and everything, but I figured you kind of left all that nonsense behind now that you don't have to do it. What's going on?
That is, the filmmaking and the acting is just, a side project for me. Really now it's all concentrating on my gift back to politics. State and global politics, using all my years and all the wisdom I have to make the world a better place.
Okay, but by all accounts, your terms as governor were not successful.
Yes, good point. I'm trying to make up for that by teaching the next generation of public servants all the mistakes that I learned from my years as governor and trying to make it better.
Really? I see, okay.
So that's
all
why
right.
I'm teaching it at USC.
University of Southern California, USC.
USC.
No, they call it USC.
Welcome to FizzGip at USC.
No, it's USC. Maybe, look, I don't know anything about politics. I'm certainly not smart enough to know what a think tank does. But let me read this sentence to you. Perhaps you can translate in layman's terms for me. This institute is dedicated to promoting a new era of post-partisanship where solutions are the result of intelligent and civil discussion between people and deeply held principles who understand the need to work through their disagreements and achieve real solutions. What's that mean, Governor?
FizzGip. FizzGip. Look, it's a long way of saying it's a think tank, okay?
Okay.
So what do you do?
You get inside
the think tank and you drive over people with it. I'll crush you with my think tank.
No, I don't think you shoot
think bombs out of the front of it.
I don't believe it's a real tank.
No, my think shells just blew up your town with my think tank.
It's not a real tank. It's not a tank. It's not a tank that you can drive. That's just a word that they use to mean smart people who get together and try to work together to come up with good new ideas.
That's not nearly as much fun.
No.
That's true.
You also have given, and this was the shocker for me, this isn't just, hey, slap the dude's name on a building, Lisa.
Uh-huh.
Mr. Schwarzenegger has donated $20 million of his own money to the Institute and will be serving as a professor, fundraiser, and chairman of the board of advisors.
Yeah, that's right. Professor Schwarzenegger, you'll come into my class and I'll teach you things. I can't wait to meet the student bodies.
This isn't just a way for you to meet college girls, is it, Arnold?
How can you say I crush you with my think tank? How do you say that?
Oh, man.
It's me giving things back to teenage girls.
Yeah, it all makes sense now.
By giving things back, you mean your penis, right?
let me help you sculpt your student body with some cleaning jerks. You know what I'm saying?
No, you know what? I think we're out of time.
Sorry. Nope.
That is a British guy named Alex Clare here on the Kevin and Bean Show at 106.7 KROQ. The song is called Too Close. We met him a few weeks ago. He was in town, stopped by, performed an acoustic version of that song on our show that was just breathtaking. Do yourself a favor. Go to the archives at KROQ.com or KevinandBean.com and look that up. It is terrific. You'll love it. And while you're there, on the front page, you can see Beer Mug's homeless video. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago. We finally sent him out. He was on Venice Boulevard in L.A., out there for about an hour or so, and you can see how he did as a homeless guy. I'd like to say I think it's impressive that at 28 years old, he finally found something he's good at.
Yeah, yeah. Thank
good
you.
Job,
thank
Max.
You.
I think you have fallen into your new career. Well done. All right, 7:20 here on the Kevin and Bean Show. This story got a little bit of play around the Olympics. Victoria Beckham, as you know, who was British, has been living in America for a long time, married to soccer superstar David Beckham. She's one of the Spice Girls, so she was spending some time in England as they were rehearsing and preparing for the Spice Girls reunion show at the closing ceremonies of the Olympics. While she was there, she and a bunch of friends and relatives went out to a Pizza Express in Essex in England, had a 115-pound bill. Now, I don't know what the exchange rate is now, but 115 pounds, I mean, it's got to be that's got to be close to $200, I would imagine, right, Lisa?
Yeah, I would think so.
I mean, that's a pretty big meal to go out to a pizza restaurant and spend a couple of $100, right?
Yeah.
So they bring her the bill, 115 pounds. She gives them 115 pounds. She doesn't tip a cent.
That's surprising. I mean, and we've heard you don't tip much in England, but if you're going to run up a big bill and you got a lot of people, then there are people working really hard.
Bitch got no class.
To take care of you, right?
It was a
refill
surprise.
Drinks?
It seems like you are a lot of work if you have a large party. She came in with 6 children, by the way, and her mother-in-law, and a couple of others. So, yeah, it's a big group, including a bunch of kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, they ordered it up, and I would imagine a meal like that is probably, even at a pizza place, is going to take an hour and a half or something like that of several staff members working on you. 115 pounds of the bill, didn't tip a penny. And that surprised us, A, because she's unbelievably, incredibly wealthy. She's probably worth, you know, tens of millions of dollars. B, because she's so well known, you would think that most celebrities are going to tip anyway, right? Just because they don't want to look bad.
Right.
And C, just because it seems like it would be the right thing to do. So we haven't talked about this in a long time, but we want to talk about tipping. And I think I'm a pretty good tipper. It takes a lot for me to not tip at least 20%. I do wish the policy weren't that the customer were responsible for directly giving the money to the employee. I wish they just got paid a regular salary like they do in almost every other job, like they do in you know, retail or anything like that. It's weird that this is the system that we have where it's so arbitrary. I wish that the restaurants would just pay the people a decent wage.
Yeah, I wish that everyone had to wait tables for 6 months sometime in their life. That's really what I wish, because
How'd you do with tips, Lisa?
I was not good, but I've also had people like yell at me. I remember bringing out these enormous plates of ribs, and they sent me back 3 times because they said the ribs were cold. And I remember being on the middle of the floor with my arms filled with like 20-pound ribs and just burst into tears because they were being so mean. And you know what they were looking for? Free drinks, maybe shave off the bill. I mean, people can be dicks.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And yeah, you're right. Anytime you're dealing with the public, that possibility exists. So we want to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. We're looking for stories of people who don't tip. Or tip intentionally very, very small. And I want to hear from both sides. I want to hear from you, the customer, as to why you did it. I really want to hear from you, the wait staff, as to what the reaction was or what you think was going on or what the stories were. So here's a couple more for you.
Okay.
Here's a guy who left a note for his waitress. I'm just scanning this article real quick to see where it is. I'm not sure it says. Oh, it's in Canada, somewhere in Canada.
Okay.
He left a note for the waitress that said, "Don't tell every customer that you're very busy to excuse your lack of serving skills. Your job is to attend to us, not make us feel like we are inconvenienced. A little bit of personal attention goes a long way in the form of a tip. Just my 2 cents." And then he attached 2 pennies.
Wow.
Oh, man.
You know,
so
it's crazy.
It was a 2-cent tip. Yes,
it's crazy because we had a discussion in the office yesterday, and Ralph brought up a good point. Sometimes, you know, if it's the waiter, you know, themselves, you tip, you know, don't leave a tip. But it could be the kitchen that's the problem. It could be the manager that's giving you too many tables that could be the problem. So it could be anything.
You know, when you wait on tables, you realize there are a lot of people involved in that meal getting there on time and being good and everything going smoothly. And you only have control over a small portion of it.
Right. Yeah, true. Now, you can tell if the waiter or waitress is terrible at customer service or is rude to you.
Yeah,
if
they don't give a crap.
Right.
Yeah, you can tell. But you're absolutely right. There can also be things behind the scenes that are happening in the kitchen or whatever that may be completely out of their control in terms of why things are taking longer than you'd like. One more, and then we're going to take a break and come back with your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Michael, you hang on. We're going to go to you first here on line five. Here's a story that got a lot of publicity a couple of months ago, and this happened in Seattle where a guy, instead of leaving a tip, wrote on his bill to the bartender. His tip was that he suggests she lose a few pounds.
Oh no.
Wow.
Now that's a valuable tip, but
maybe
not what the bartender was looking for. So no tip or low tip, why? You're the customer or the server. Let's get started with Michael. He is on line five at 1-800-520-1067. Michael, thank you for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. This struck a nerve with you. I see you were first up calling. What's going on?
Yeah, this actually becomes a strong debate with some of our friends just as a joking matter. But I think the thing that I hate the most about it is that I'm expected to tip before I even sit down, regardless of the service. And somehow,
yeah, it's tradition. It is the custom now. That's how restaurant service is set up in America, is that they make a $2 wage or something like that, and the customers pick up the slack. Right.
But when I found out, like, how tipping started, where, and still in the middle of the United States, a lot of people, restaurants are allowed to pay half of minimum wage, and the tip is supposed to bring you up to minimum wage, or
correct,
depending on your service.
Right.
It kind of ticks me off when waiters and waitresses demand tips when they get paid minimum wage, like they're doing something more difficult than any other minimum wage service-based job in our economy.
Lisa, you want to handle that?
Yeah.
Lisa was just saying she thinks everybody should try waiting tables before they have an opinion on it.
I really do. I think they work really hard, and minimum wage isn't enough. And by the way, they get taxed on those bills. They estimate what you're going to get tipped.
The reason they
so you could come home with like $100 for 2 weeks as a check.
I've got friends that work at Island and Steerenstein, and they're making what, like $25 an hour.
Wow,
that's true in some places if they don't serve you.
So what do you do about it? You're uncomfortable. You're resentful. You hate the fact that you're expected to tip. So you must eat out at restaurants sometimes. How do you handle it, Michael?
I usually don't go to restaurants where they would require a tip. If I do, I try to save face, or it'll be like a group. I don't go with, like, by myself or whatever.
Well, that's good. I appreciate that.
So does that mean you don't ever tip? If you do go by yourself or even with your other group, you don't throw any money in the pool?
Yeah.
What a dick!
The biggest thing is, like, have you guys ever eaten at Chick-fil-A?
No.
Okay. No, we love the gays. Are you kidding me?
Well, like, nobody tips there, but they do.
Well, you don't tip at fast food restaurants, though. You don't tip at McDonald's. You don't tip at Jack in the Box. That's just not how
they don't serve
up.
You.
Yeah, they don't bring you your
it's
food.
Not table
they don't
service,
refill
right.
your drinks. They don't.
Yeah, they do. If you sit there, they will bring you your food. They will take it away, and they will refill your drinks as long as you're in the store.
You don't see the difference between that and a restaurant?
Yeah, you know what we're talking about. You're splitting hairs, Michael. But thank you for the call. We very much appreciate it. 1-800-520-1067. No tip, low tip. What's going on with you? Especially, I want to hear from you, servers, too. Your call's coming up next right here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hey, thanks a whole lot for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on the world-famous K-Rock. As always, we are giving away tickets for Disneyland. We've got a pair of Disneyland Resort Deluxe Annual Passes you can win to go to both Disneyland and the California Adventure Parks. Your chance to win that is on the way here on the world-famous K-Rock. Right now, we're using that phone number, 1-800-520-1067, to talk about no tipping. There are people who just don't tip. There are people who just don't tip if they've got a reason. Listen to this. A couple of emails, then we'll get right back to your calls. Hi, Bean. Marie says, I used to work at Coco's. We closed at 10 on Sunday nights. Well, at 9:30 every Sunday, a huge church group would come in and order dessert and coffee, tea, etc. They stayed until at least 11 every week and would literally leave a quarter or two on each table. One night, one of the waitresses collected the tips that they left, ran out after the pastor, handed him the money, and said, "You people obviously need this more than we do. Please find a place to get your pie and coffee at a price you can afford." Burn!
I love that.
One more. Beatrice writes in, "Oh my God, Bean, I wish I could call in on this topic. Every time my husband and I go out to eat with my mom, we make it a game. Let's see what mom can come up with to use as ammo to not tip this time. It doesn't take much. It could be that the waitress doesn't say hello in a cheerful enough way. It could be they don't bring her coffee fast enough. Whatever it is, every little thing. And then she says, that's it. She's not being tipped. The poor kid never stands a chance. P.S. I usually toss a few bucks on the table after my mom has walked away." So there are people who just got a hang up about the tipping, I guess.
They're just cheap.
Maybe that's what it is. Let's see. Let's go to – wow, we got some great calls here. Let's go to Andrew. Andrew's on line one. He has a no-tip story for us. Andrew, thanks for calling. Thanks for holding on. What's going on?
Hey, how you doing? I've waited tables for 8 or 9 years. And when I first moved to Los Angeles, I got a slew of celebrities that I was waiting on. And it was all kind of new to me. And most of them were pretty amazing. You know, they were in L.A. You know, they're famous. They have the money. But I waited on Suge Knight one night with, like, two girls. And, I mean, they were awful. Like, so rude. And they, like, ran me into the ground back and forth. They sat at my table for about 3.5 hours. Mm. Rang up, like, a $248 tab. And he literally put, like, $248 on the table when they left. And I was just like, oh, my God, you know, like,
unbelievable.
You have money. I know it because you bought off police officers.
Allegedly. Hey, allegedly, and this is Andrew saying this about Suge Knight. This isn't Kevin and Bean. I want to make sure that's clear. But they left you no tip. And by the way, you just don't say anything to Suge Knight. He gets away with it because you know he's going to hang you from a balcony, right?
Exactly. Like, I didn't, you know, I've said stuff to other people, but I was like, I can't say anything.
Not a word.
It was just like, you know, I was like, maybe he's going to make it rain on me. I was just hoping that, like.
Oh, my God. You were so excited all night long. And you were probably doing the best waiting you've ever done in your life because you knew that there was gold at the end of that rainbow, right?
I was hoping. And there was, I think it actually came out to like 13 cents. It was the change on the.
Oh, all right, Andrew, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go down to line six, please. This is going to be Marco. He used to work as a server, and that has influenced the way he now tips. Hey, Marco, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
You know, I used to work at a restaurant. And you know what, Lisa? You're right. It's hard work. And it's called work, not vacation.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, I went to a restaurant one night, got terrible service, and what ended up happening was I had a half a penny in my wallet that I actually left on the table and left her a note saying, "For your half-assed service."
Did you literally cut a penny in half?
Yes, I did. I had that for years. I had it in my wallet. Finally had a time to use it.
That is hilarious. Can you imagine what her face was like when she came back and saw
God.
That? Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate that. Let's try Nate. Nate is on line eight. He served the biggest party I've ever heard of anyone serving. Nate, welcome to the show. What happened, dude?
How you doing? So I'm working out in Vegas. Have a big party. I'm Australian. They travel the world. We're sitting here talking about surfing, all the good stuff, you know, vibing really well. The bill ran up to $1,200. You know, we have the choice of autographing or not. I mean, we're getting along really well, conversating. I'm assuming I'm going to get a good tip. You know, sometimes people get offended when you autograph, so I decided not to autograph.
Now, hold on a second.
What does that mean?
What's that term mean?
Autograph means anything over, like, six people, you automatically put the gratuity on the table.
Oh, I see. And that's commonplace in a lot of restaurants, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, with a large party.
Right.
But you had the option of not doing that and instead accepting whatever tip they wanted to leave you.
Correct. Exactly.
Gotcha.
Me talking to them, vibing with them, assuming that they're going to tip me really well, traveling about, you know, talking about traveling and all that, giving them, you know, good info about Vegas, and they leave me $0.
$0 on a $1,200 tab.
$0.
Oh.
Did you say anything? Did you talk to them about it?
No. I mean, it's our policy not to address it, and I basically had to suck it up and tip out my staff on $1,200.
Did you never make that mistake again?
I will swear by autograding any Australian that comes in the restaurant.
Yes.
Yep, let's blame it on the whole damned country. Thank you for the call.
Yeah.
We appreciate that.
No problem.
Let's go to Adrian. He's on line five. He also used to be a server, and he's come to some conclusions as well. Adrian, thanks so much for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
See, I used to be a server like at a fine dining restaurant, and that's really hard work.
Yes.
You get several plates for just one person. And, you know, you get a table of five and you all get seven plates. So that's somewhere where I used to get tipped a lot, and then I started working in other restaurants, you know, smaller restaurants, chain restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's nowhere near as hard. And I feel like a lot of the times these servers are just expecting to get paid, and they don't work hard for it.
Interesting. So how do you handle that? What do you do?
See, well, I work in the kitchen now just because I don't like dealing with customers.
Yeah, but when you're a customer, what do you do when you go to a restaurant and you feel like, hey, it's not that hard, and I don't do you tip or not tip?
I leave a small tip, but I'm not going to insult them with a couple of cents.
Yeah.
I'll leave like a dollar or two, and just I'll write on the table, like, your service sucks.
You know, wow. It depends on the place, because I know someone that waited at CPK for a long time, and mm-hmm. they drill those people. They have all this information they have to know. I mean, it's tough to work there.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Amber. She's got a specific complaint. She is on line three. Amber, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened?
Okay, so I was waiting at this family restaurant one year, and this couple comes in, this man and his wife. And he spilled his glass of water mm-hmm. on his cell phone. And so they started yelling at me, why did I set the water on the table in that spot?
Really?
And then they started screaming at me, I'm going to pay for his cell phone, whatever. So then afterwards, I feed them their food, they leave, no tip, and they skipped out on the bill.
Oh no.
Wow, we haven't even gotten into skipping out on the bill. I totally forgot about that part of the beautiful server experience.
It was awful.
That's not a fun night.
I was like so close to tears. Oh. All the customers were yelling at me. I mean, looking at me as they're yelling. It was awful.
I think there are a lot of people who try waiting and don't make it a night, and they just go, I can't do it. It's too hard, right?
Yeah, I hated it.
It is hard. People are so mean.
they really are.
So mean.
Thank you for the call. We appreciate that. Let's do one more. This is Matt. I think he's got the capper on line seven. Hi, Matt. Welcome to the show. What's going on, dude?
I used to serve Sunday brunch, and we'd always have Christians coming in right after church.
Mm-hmm.
And the funniest thing is they'd always, like, they wouldn't talk to you very much. They talk to each other. They're super self-involved. And then at the end of the bill, I got this three times. $1 million bill that says the only thing you ever need to know is that Jesus loves you.
No.
Well, you know what? That's a pretty good tip, though. It's a pretty good tip. Something to keep in mind. Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it.
Shake me down. Not a lot of people left around.
A lot of quitting before the end of the song going on today's music. I don't know what the hell the deal is here. Stay committed, people. Come on. 7:53 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks for tuning in to K-Rock on a Wednesday. Is that Psycho Mike Catherwood?
Yeah.
It is.
My lover boy, Mike Catherwood.
Psycho Mike, five nights a week with Dr. Drew on Loveline, filling in for Ralph Garman on the Showbiz Beat. Unfortunately, Ralph was very sick today. He was a trooper coming in, but had to leave early. So Mike is here. What's going on, dude? How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. I'm a survivor.
I saw the picture that Mike tweeted this week of him with the great Gene Simmons.
Gene Simmons is an interesting guy because you wonder how much of it he has to prep. Like, it's got to be difficult to do show prep to be yourself. You know what I'm saying? And what I mean by that...
You're suggesting that maybe the whole thing is an act, like it's all...
Yeah, he never turns it off.
Yeah.
He never turn it off. That is true.
It always reminds me, every time I meet Gene Simmons, it reminds me of the stories Ralph used to tell us of meeting Tom Likas, where he has the same spiel every time, and at some point you go, well, eventually this isn't true.
Right.
Like, you know, Ralph used to meet Tom Likas, and after the seventh time, he's like, I've never heard the Kevin and Bean Show. I'm not up that early. You're like, okay, listen, you've been in LA radio for 15 years now. At some point, that's just not a true statement. Gene Simmons said,
I think I'm familiar with Dr. Drew, but this show, Loveline, no.
And Dr. Drew's standing 5 feet away. You've been on the show 8 times, Gene!
No, but you are a handsome and powerful man. I could see how you two together could do good work.
Oh,
yes, that's true. No, who's this new female co-host I see? Come here. I need to talk to you. What, you're from Britain? Oh, yes, very good.
Yeah, he needs to get her the Polaroid book. Yeah, he's a piece of work, but it's hard to deny his success or how Kiss is still going strong in the 21st century.
I always do my little mouse trap of broadcasting with Gene Simmons, where I ask him the same question to see if he'll give me the same answer. And I go, Gene, you know, it's funny because I'm just such a Kiss fan, and people say that you've sold out with the merchandising. And before I could even get that word out, with the merchandising word out, he goes,
You know, people say Kiss have sold out, and it's true. We've sold out every arena we've played in the last 35 years.
And that's exactly what
he says. Yeah, you're like, oh, Gene, oh, see ya. Ba-dum-bum-sh. Ba-dum-bum-sh. Look
that's
at you.
How you tell it's the real Gene Simmons and not some cheap imposter.
Speaking of people making tons of dough.
Yes.
Yeah.
Gabby Douglas. She's an
America's
Olympiad.
Sweetheart, Mike.
Yes, she is. She is America's new sweetheart.
Mm-hmm.
Now that Julia Roberts has a giant vein in her head and is a wicked old woman, she is America's new sweetheart. Forbes magazine speculates she will make between, take a guess, Lisa May, what an Olympian, what an America's sweetheart and an Olympian, someone with much talked about hair.
Yeah, the hair.
She's cute. She's personable. She's got a killer smile. She's got a great personality. Obviously, she won the gold medals over there in gymnastics. What does somebody like
over
that
the,
make these days?
Over the next 4 years, Beer Mug, what do you think?
Over the next 4 years?
Over the next 4 years, or during the entire 4 years that Roseanne Barr is our president, what do you think Gabby Douglas is going to make?
I'm going to say over $10 million.
Well, Beer Mug, you're pretty darn close.
Really?
Yes. $5 to $10 million they're speculating she will make off of being Gabby Douglas.
Wow.
Commercial endorsements or something? Isn't she already on the cover of the Cornflakes?
If you, that's another thing. I guess Wheaties can't get athletes anymore because they got outbid by the, you know, because there's the two Kellogg's and General Mills, and so they got outbid now. So now
I think it's Cornflakes.
Cornflakes instead of Wheaties. What am I going to do without an athlete on my Wheaties?
That's just wrong.
I don't know. I haven't eaten Wheaties in 20 years. So. Oh, yeah, $5 to $10 million. Good for her. Good for her. Yeah. So, I mean, there has to be some upside to being pretty much forgotten about after your sport's done, right? Big things happening in the Robert Pattinson, Kristen Stewart world.
K-Stew.
Yeah. Our Pats is definitely done. He's moved on from K-Stew, or at least he tells Jon Stewart that. He was on The Daily Show recently. It was his first real big interview he's done since the much-talked-about breakup and the infidelity of Miss Stew. But, our Pat's...
He said it on the air.
He admitted the breakup felt like the end of the world.
Oh.
Well, look, there are people who work through a cheat, and then there are people who go, that's a deal breaker. I'm out. I mean, there are some people, it's just crystal clear. No matter what we had before, if you cheat on me, I'll never trust you, and I can't be with you anymore, and I'm gone. And, I mean...
And some people, their relationship isn't really going that well anyway, and it's a nice excuse.
Yes, and Miss Stewart is not going to fare well out of the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
She is, it's just a laundry list of bad stuff coming out of her camp since this breakup and her cheating. The Huntsman, Snow White and the Huntsman, was planning on making a sequel to that movie starring her. I did not see the first one, but I guess she plays a pretty integral role in the movie.
Being Snow White.
Snow White,
and
right.
It did really well.
Yeah.
Yes. It was a big hit.
They are not going to make this sequel. She is not going to star in this movie. In fact, they're going to turn it into like a side project based around Chris Hemsworth's character.
He's the Huntsman character. Dreamy and all,
right.
But I mean, it's...
And he's the only one on the set who didn't have sex with somebody.
Yeah,
by the way.
I guess so.
And this is all based around the fact that she had been cheating with Rupert Sanders, the director of that movie. So that's one of the major kind of fallouts from this cheating. And she also got dropped out of the film Callie earlier this month. The story of Lisa May.
Story, right?
The story of Lisa May, according to Dr. 90210.
What is Robert Pattinson going to do, though? He clearly can never get another woman, right? I mean, just look at him.
I mean, I feel bad for the guy because he's struggling financially.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have much of a career. I mean, he's not well known in Hollywood, and he's not attractive. So, really, he doesn't stand much chance to ever find another woman.
It's heartbreaking.
I do. I mean, if there's one real victim in this, it's Robert Pattinson's penis. It's Robert Pattinson's penis.
Absolutely.
Because it'll never see the light of day again. Britney Spears. I almost don't report on this because I know she's like a major star as far as people's interest, so I have to do this story. Not like I'm a big reporter or anything, but you when you see Britney Spears, blah, 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 you get piqued and you decide what stories to talk about. But hearing Britney Spears seemed out of it in public is like saying renegades in Syria in an uprising. Like at some point you're like, well, okay, can you give me some more news? Supposedly, according to RadarOnline.com, she seemed quite out of it at a photo shoot aboard the Queen Mary here in Long Beach, California. Apparently, the pressure of the X Factor getting to her.
You mean the show that she walks off of regularly for her breaks?
My question. Is the pressure of doing a network game show all that much for a girl who was touring the world and selling like 35 million records when she was 19? How the hell?
And that tour's got to be giant stress, right?
Mark my words. What's the date, Beer Mug?
Today is the 15th of August, 2012.
Today, the 15th of August, 2012, I, Michael Cornelius.
That's psycho, your name?
No, it's not. Okay. I'm Michael Don Cornelius Catherwood, say that there's going to be another epic Britney Spears mental break, meltdown, and it's not funny anymore. And I don't want to start comparing apples to oranges, but instead of the gun people battling over whether we should have guns for or against when people go into theaters and shoot, let's focus on mental health. Britney Spears, it's not funny anymore. She's a sick person. She's going to break down. She's going to go crazy. Thank you. I've spoken.
Okay.
It's only a matter of time.
It's very bold because, you know, by all accounts, she has generally been doing a lot better since the conservatorship, and she's got this new fiancé.
Yeah, she's got handlers.
Listen, she's got a gigantic team with more employees than this radio station, making sure that that's what we think.
Right.
But well, you can only walk off the set of something so much. And like I said, she's not starring on the West Wing and has these demanding 15-hour scenes that she has to film, and she just can't take it anymore. She's a freaking judge on a game show, and she can't handle this. And I'm telling you, it's only a matter of time before. And how many stories of these little minor ones have got? Well, she seemed like she like the zombie. I saw her at the goddamn the photo shoot. It was a Britney Spears zombie. She seemed really out of it. She seemed like drugged out. You watch, okay?
Okay, all right.
Thank
we'll
you.
See.
Marking
that's real talk right there, man.
All right, there you go. Britney Spears.
Celebrity birthdays.
Celebrity birthdays.
Whose celebrity birthday is it, Karen?
Oh, no. Dane, we don't have time.
I just snuck into the theater. That's right. You ask who I am? I'm Gotham Brooke.
Actress Deborah Messing, who is a very nice young lady. She is 44 years old today. Anthony Anderson? Brother of Pam Anderson, Anthony Anderson, is 42 years old. A guy who I'm going to go out on a limb. I know it may take a lot of heat for this. I like Ben Affleck, and he's 40 years old today. Ben Affleck, 40 years old. He's turned out to be a nice guy.
And a good director.
A fantastic director, Lisa May. Thank you. Yeah. Natasha Henstridge, one of the hottest women I've ever met, 38 years old. Singer Joe Jonas, the Jonas Brothers, 23 years young and very rich.
Yeah. Hey, those Jonas Brothers are assholes!
Speaking of people who are rich and young, Carlos Pena, he's in Big Time Rush. The Chickadees love him, 23 years old. And Jennifer Lawrence, don't even ring that bell. Throw it against the wall. What a poon whale she is. Oh, I love her. 22 years old. And that is Ralph Garman's Showbiz Beat.
Lisa May, you're about to be very excited.
Tell me.
Honey Boo Boo Child.
I'm Alana. I'm 6 and I'm a beauty queen. Brothers must be crazy if they think they're going to be me, Honey Boo Boo Child. I'm super solid because I do patterns. I want to win money. A dollar makes me holler, Honey Boo Boo.
All right, Honey Boo Boo Child is the breakout star of the Toddlers and Tiaras show on TLC. It's been running for a few seasons now. Now there's a spinoff. It's Honey Boo Boo and her family. And I almost had a nervous breakdown last week as I was recounting episode number one for you because I can't believe it's a real show. I can't believe these are real people. I can't believe this exists. And here's what's going on in their family. So there's Honey Boo Boo. She's 6. Then there's her 12-year-old sister, Pumpkin. Mm-hmm. And then her 15-year-old sister, Chubb. And then her 17-year-old sister, who, by the way, is pregnant in her third trimester. She's Chickadee, and she's 17. Okay, so that's the family. Then there's Mom, June, 32, 309 pounds, and her poor, sad husband, Sugar Bear. So there's episode number 2. And here's a lot of what's going on this show on TLC. And tell me if you've got the appetite for this for 30 minutes a week.
Tubby!
What the hell are you eating that fat cake for? You know you're going to be eating that.
Oh, God! You're on a diet. Give me that fat cake. Give me the fat cake.
Get off of me. Can barely breathe.
All right, so what's happening basically there is Chubb announced on episode 1 that she feels like, hey, I'm 15 now. I'm starting to gain a little bit too much weight. They're making fun of me at school. I think it's time for me to lose some LBs. So the whole family is trying to help her lose weight. And, of course, the opening scene on episode number 2 is she's eating what they call a fat cake. So little Honey Boo is trying to take it away from her. And they all just gang pile, you know, jump up and down on the couch. Look, say what you will about this crazy family. they appear to have a great time together. They seem to be a nuclear family that loves each other, that spends lots of time together. Maybe they're not the worst people in the world.
Well, the 17-year-old was gone at some point.
Yes,
getting impregnated.
Was. I mean, I'm conflicted with my own feelings about these people because while I hate everything about them, mm-hmm. I feel like they probably are a happier and more functional family than a lot of families. So episode one of the series, Honey Boo Boo did not win a pageant and took it very hard. She's very sad that she didn't win a pageant. So Mom has an idea of how to cheer up her little princess.
When Alana didn't win anything at the pageant this past week, she did cry. She was kind of upset.
I didn't win anything at the natural pageant. Those judges were nuts.
And by the way, that's something you need to know about Honey Boo Boo. If she doesn't win, it's not because she's not competitive enough. It's not because other girls maybe brought it a little better than she did. It's because the judges are nuts.
Okay.
This is the kind of self-entitlement that these kids are learning in this house.
After Alana's pageant loss, we wanted to cheer her up a little bit. Alana wanted a new pet, and she's always wanted one of those teacup piggies. The teacup piggy makes a great pet, but it's only going to weigh about 5 or 6 pounds.
I can tell you, by the way,
not an animal.
Piggies do not weigh 5 or 6 pounds. Maybe when they're born,
yes.
But they end up weighing 40, 50 pounds at least, and that's going to be a bad surprise. And you're right. This family should not be entrusted to keep a pet alive, Lisa May. You're absolutely right about that. And my complaint last week was that they're doing everything they can to continue the stereotypes that most of America has about people who live in Georgia, like they do just outside Macon.
Uh-huh.
So let's turn that upside down by getting a pet pig that lives in the house. Let's do that.
Like them fingernails that you put on me for pageants. That's why I want her to be getting them little baby ones.
The other thing you need to know about Honey Boo Boo Child and her entire family is they all have to be subtitled because they barely speak English. I think what she was saying there is that she's excited to have this pig because she thinks it can help her win pageants. She's hoping to incorporate the little pig into her stage show, and she thinks that's going to help her.
That's a girl named Glitzy.
We're going to name the pig Glitzy.
Okay.
Glitzy is the pig's name. Honey Boo Boo says that's a girl name.
We're going to make it a girl pig, so he's going to be a little gay.
It's not going to be gay.
Yes, it is, because we're making it a girl pig, and it's actually a boy pig.
Okay, but it's not going to be gay.
It can if you want to. You can't tell that pig what to do.
It is kind of hard. It is kind of hard to argue with that kind of logic, right? You can't really tell the pig whether to be gay or not.
That's
right?
True.
The other half of the episode, besides the little pig that joins the family, is that they had some discussions with the pageant people that maybe part of what's holding Honey Boo Boo back from the big wins is that she doesn't have the best manners in the world. So they decide, well, they're going to bring in an etiquette coach.
When Alana didn't win anything at the pageant this past week, the judges said that she needed to be more refined. So we decided to invest in some etiquette lessons. I think that out of all my kids, I think Pumpkin needs to be the more refined because she needs to be able to learn manners. So maybe this lady will help today with that.
Okay, so they're standing on the front porch with their pig, by the way, as the etiquette coach drives up.
That's poor person.
And this can be very difficult for some of you to listen to, but trust me, it's worth it.
The poor
etiquette coach is walking up to the front porch of the house, and they're standing there with this pig that's just screaming. And by the way, the reason these little pigs scream is because they don't like having their feet off the ground. That's why they scream, is because they're scared because their feet are off the ground. Put the pig down on the ground, the pig shuts up, but they don't know that.
Hi. I'm Mrs. Hickey.
Poor Mrs. Hickey is like, what am I going to do with this family? How am I possibly going to train this family?
The only things I need etiquette classes. Look at me. I don't need no etiquette class. I don't need manners or anything. What you see is what you get. I don't care what people think of me. I am who I am. If you don't like me, you don't like me.
And I hope that works for you.
All right, so that's the reaction the etiquette coach has with Pupkin, who basically says she just doesn't need manners. There's nothing that you can teach her.
I hope that works for you.
Poor Mrs. Hickey is just doing everything she can for this family, right?
Now here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to grab the napkin at the top left side. All right? Very good.
Right
here?
We're going
to take it and put it on my... You're not going to open it up. You've got to watch Mrs. Hickey. Mm-hmm. We're not going to make a big deal over the napkin. Let's put our napkins on our lap. We never take them above, and we certainly don't do anything to our nose. Say, okay, now.
She blows her nose in the napkin.
All right.
And just sits there just shaking her head, just staring at her. What do you do with these kids when they're blowing their nose in the napkin and putting it on the table?
I thought napkin was starting too small, but maybe not.
And Pumpkin, as we learned in episode one, by the way, is fascinated with her own bodily functions and will not stop at the faux dinner table for etiquette lessons, talking about how much she enjoys farting, which doesn't really go over all that well with Miss Hickey.
I want to talk to you about leaving the table. You might sometimes have to leave the table. You start sneezing. Well,
she suggests you might have to leave the table. So Pumpkin says, "You mean like when you have to take a poo-poo? Is that what you mean?
Don't say that out loud.
So can you fart at the table? Is that rude?
That is probably the height of rudeness.
I can fart sitting down like this, and I just feel like I'll stop passing gas when I'm dead.
Pumpkin, we never draw attention to ourselves.
So etiquette lessons are a big bust. Here's the recap with Miss Hickey when she talks to Mom June as she's leaving.
So did they learn anything today?
I hope so. I think they did. They're very bright, June.
Let's see what Honey Boo Boo thought about the etiquette lessons.
In the etiquette class, I learned nothing. Because it wasn't fun. Etiquette classes are for stupid people.
Well, I think that's a good lesson for everybody to know, is that etiquette classes are for stupid people. And if judges don't give me the crown, then they're lame, too.
Oh, God, I love this family.
What's going on with this family? How is this a thing that exists in the world that we live in? What's happening,
but
Lisa?
Now that they're on TV, it's just going to make them worse, right?
I'm afraid you're right. Well, there's a new episode of Honey Boo Boo tonight on TLC. Please don't make me watch it.
Oh, you must. We have to know what happens.
No, please.
What happens to the pig? Does the girl keep farting? What's going on?
You're listening to the world-famous KROQ at 106.7 KROQ. By the way, Psycho Mike Catherwood.
Yes.
You were talking about Gabby Douglas in the Showbiz Beat a few minutes ago. Allyson Felix, who also won a bunch of gold medals in London at the Olympics, track and field star, is going to be joining us in studio tomorrow here on the Kevin DeBean Show.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
Now, I am saying she's a gold digger. What?
Also, Dr. Drew tomorrow and John Henson from Wipeout is going to be here as well, plus a brand new internet roundup. I'm glad you're here today because we are getting very near the end of summer. I know it's hard to believe because it's a billion degrees out, but Labor Day is right around the corner. Fall is almost here, and people are, you know, getting their workout on. They're doing everything they can, taking advantage of, you know, the longer days to get the exercise in. But the common complaint that so many have, Psycho Mike, is, what about that last 10 pounds? Why is it no matter how hard I work, I can get to point A, but I can't get to point B? What's happening with that?
Yeah.
You've been hearing that for a long time too, I bet, right?
That's one of the most common emails I get is people, they're like, well, I've been working out for 3 months now, and my arms and chest starting to look pretty good. I just can't do anything about that, like my area around my belly, man. And then chicks all come up, you know, I've been training hard, I've been dieting, I've been doing Weight Watchers, whatever it is, and, you know, I'm starting to, like, see it in my face, but, you know, my ass, and you know, my legs, it's like it doesn't seem to want to come off. They still got cellulite or whatever.
Is this a chick thing or is this a person thing?
This is a human being thing.
Yeah.
And it is actually much harder for women though to lose that what you know people would commonly call like the last 10 pounds or the last 5 pounds, because biologically good old God or Xenu, whoever it may be, wanted you to keep insulation around your reproductive organs.
So your body is fighting back, basically.
Right, exactly. The leaner you get, the harder it becomes to start to make progress in your weight loss and body fat loss efforts. So, I mean, it makes a lot of sense that this is the most common question you see around people is that, you know, the first 40 pounds, if you're 50 pounds overweight, the first 40 pounds comes off a lot easier, substantially easier than that last 10.
And what do you do about that? And we're going to take calls on this, by the way, this is the topic of the day, is that last 10 pounds. What have you been doing? What has been working? What hasn't been working? What should you be doing? That's what we're going to be doing at 1-800-520-1067, an impromptu edition of Psycho Mike's The Psycho Body here on the Kevin DeBean Show, because there are a lot of people out there listening right now. What kind of general tips can you give to folks?
Well, I mean, the overall tip I can give you when it comes to really making that big push from getting from really good to excellent, to elite level, when you want to look in the mirror and you're truly proud of what you see, you look in the mirror and you get that body in the mirror that you've been dreaming of, it takes that next level of commitment, of persistence, of patience. That's the biggest thing. People just aren't patient enough to really get that, because anybody, I don't want to say anybody, but most people can lose the first 20. If you're like, hey man, freshman year of college really got to me, it's time to get in better shape. The first 10, 15 pounds, you can do it. You start running a little bit, maybe change the light beer, maybe not so much soda, and the things just start to happen. To get to the point where you're taking your shirt off and you're proud of what you have is a whole different level of prolonged, consistent effort. And so the overall.
Worth it?
It is, I mean, to me, it is. There's a fitness trainer, a guy who went on to be an Olympic wrestling coach. I wish I could remember his name, but he had a great quote. He said, "Nothing tastes as good as being lean feels." And so if that is of concern to you, some people just don't care. I mean, they're happy with who they are. But if you really want to make the – if in the back of your head you've always dreamed of having the, you know, lean muscular physique – it is worth it in the end, but you have to be able to commit yourself for a long period of time. That's what people
don't understand. I'm fine to be lazy and just have that last 10 pounds, to be honest, to tell you the truth, because it's not that big a deal to me.
And look, you got to weigh that on the scales of justice with your own life. If your quality of life is as high as it can be with that extra 10 pounds, you can quote me on this, I say then keep it that way.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, it's not.
As long as you're not a hot girl, right?
Or a female, period. I mean, let's pretend I'm just talking about men.
No women can be satisfied with themselves.
Women can always be thinner and look better. Uh-huh. That's the take home message. No, but really, it is a personal choice. But my point is that if you are going to reach out to a guy like me or to a girl who is a expert in fitness and nutrition, and you're saying to yourself, "What can I do to get that extra 10 pounds?" Understand, it's going to take a massive commitment. That's all I'm saying.
Here's what we're looking for. It's the Psycho Body on the world famous K-Rock, 1-800-520-1067. You are 90% of the way there. That's what we're looking for today. You've been working out. You've been watching your diet. You've been making some healthy choices. But you can't get over the hump, whatever that last thing is that you're trying to do to get in the shape that you want to be in. Those are the calls we're looking for right now. 1-800-520-1067. It's the Psycho Body, and it's next right after this on the world famous K-Rock. Ladies and gentlemen, Blind Melon, come on.
Yeah.
Hey, quiet down, woman.
You were worried you weren't going to get through your day without a little Blind Melon. Kevin and Bean Show taking care of you. It is 8:39. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Psycho Body.
Don't just get fit, get psycho. Don't just get strong, get psycho. Don't just get big, get psycho. It's the Psycho Body with your host, Psycho Mike. Are you with me?
Yes, we're totally with you. We are talking about that last 10%. You've accomplished most of your goals, but you just can't get over the hump. By the way, Psycho Mike, before we go to calls, how about you? Not that you ever take off your shirt and look in the mirror, but if you did, would you be satisfied with what you see, or are there still areas that you're working on?
I'm never satisfied with it, and not because of anything I do physically. I mean, I definitely have sincere body issue problems, though. And
mentally.
Yeah, it's a psychological thing, and yeah.
So
it'll
never be just right for you.
No, and not be again not because of anything that I do dietarily or exercise wise. I'm fully ready to admit that I have a problem, and I've been working. It's gotten a lot better since you guys remember 5 years ago, 6 years ago when I was married.
Yes,
I used to shower with my shirt on. You know,
I do remember that. Yes, I do. Yeah. And that's why you're the right guy to be in here giving advice to other people.
Yeah,
let's talk to Alex on line 6 to get us going. Alex, thank you for calling. Thank you for holding on. You're on with the Psycho Body. We're talking about that last 10%. What's your question?
I'm just trying to get rid of, like, my arm flab. Like, I lost a lot of weight, but I still have arm flab, and I can't get rid of. I can't go to a gym, and I don't have enough space, like, for weight.
That's a super common problem, right, Mike? I mean, a lot of women only wear things with sleeves or put a sweater over a sleeveless thing because they don't like the way their arm fat look. What's up?
It is a common place for women, especially after they age. And I'm not saying you're old, but, you know, when you're not 21, the tricep area, the back of the arm, is a very common place for women to start to hold what they call flab. But a lot of times it's just extra skin, especially like you said, Alex, you've lost weight already. The best exercise for that area for someone who can't get to the gym, do dips. Do you understand what that is? I mean, it's hard to explain over the radio, but put your arms, wrists on the back of like a couch or a table, and then sit in front of it and lower yourself so that your shoulders go below your elbow area and then back up again. So if you Google search, you know, home workout or dips at home, you could be able to see that. But I have to throw out this caveat. You understand the body does not compartmentalize where it loses body fat from. You lose body fat at a rate at which your body dictates it. So if you say, well, I have to lose weight in my abs. I'm looking good everywhere else, but I have to lose weight in my arm flab. It's not how it works. You have to diet and exercise consistently, and your body loses weight as a unit. It doesn't, you know, you're not able to spot reduce. So I just want to give you that kind of piece of advice before you go and just do dips and think that everything's going to be okay.
Thank you for the call, Alex. We appreciate it. Good luck to you. Let's try Kelsey. Kelsey's on line 4, trying to lose the last of his belly fat. You're on with Psycho Mike Catherwood. Go ahead.
Hi. Okay, so it's almost fate that you guys are talking about this, because I've been working out for the past 2 months. I've changed the way I've eaten completely. I walk like 8 miles a day. I do abs. I do my arms. And for some reason, there's just that little belly fat that you're talking about. And I was wondering if I cut out beer, which was hard. But I was wondering if having a couple just like alcoholic beverages a week is actually doing more harm than I think.
Well, I mean, realistically, Kelsey, with your math, how much is a couple?
Excuse me? Sorry,
I said, be honest and be specific. How much is a couple?
No, it's literally like 3 a week.
Oh, 3 a week is not going to, unless you're drinking simple sugars and whiskey, it's not going to make much of a difference. If you're having really just a alcoholic beverage like plain whiskey or rum or tequila by itself or with club soda, 3 a week is really probably not going to make much difference at all. But
a couple.
But alcoholic beverages, you know, if in excess is definitely going to make a difference.
What about dairy? No. Does dairy sometimes contribute to extra weight in
the
area?
No, there is so much BS thrown out there, and a lot of it is like the, and I'm not trying to advocate people to eat a bunch of gluten or eat a bunch of dairy,
right.
But you have to understand that you could go gluten-free, dairy-free, corn-free, all this, but if you're eating calorie-dense foods that don't give you the kind of the macronutrient breakdown that you need to get the body you want, it's all a moot point. I mean, at the end of the day, eating a tub of almond butter, of organic almond butter, is the same as eating a tub of ice cream.
Right.
You know, obviously the almond butter is going to give you better a nutrient profile. It's going to be better for your body overall, but you're still destroying your ability to lose weight or lose body fat.
Let me jump in and ask specifically about Kelsey's belly fat, because this is a very common thing for both sexes. They say no matter how much I work out, I can't get, of course, what they want is the six-pack that they see on the front of Men's Health. You've explained before that that's very difficult to get, right?
That is not
something you can diet your way to.
If you are not genetically gifted and lean naturally, some people are just tall and thin, that's the way it goes. But if you are not, if you are a normal average person, the ability to develop defined abdominal area takes, you know, Kelsey started off this call, and I'm not trying to pick on you, Kelsey, but you started off the call by saying, I've been walking 8 miles for 2 months. You need to be cross training at a very intense rate for 3 years.
Right.
I'm not kidding. Yeah. I mean, that's reality.
If you want that, those abs.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
No, and I agree, because I have seen a little bit of difference, and I'm not going to quit. I just wanted to know if like alcohol in any way was actually hurting, because I know beer is like not the best.
It is, and I pardon the pun. It's not the brain of your existence. You can, people can, who are drinkers, if you want to have a couple of drinks, once or twice a week, it is not going to completely sidetrack your progress.
Cool,
but keep in mind that that is empty calories.
Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate that. Wow. As always, Mike, when we come on with the Psycho Body, we get so many calls. Let me just get a couple of very quick answers that we're not going to have time to go there. Any supplements that help to lose the last 10? People are always looking for that little edge that they can buy.
There are some supplements that are going to help in the long run. I definitely recommend an omega-3 supplement, fish oil, because it'll help balance your profile of the omega-6 and 9 fats to your omega-3. And I know it's a little technical, but it's just overall healthy. It puts your body in a better environment to lose body fat and keep you in a healthy fashion. But there's absolutely zero supplement out there, and I mean this. There is nothing, no pill, no powder, or anything you can take that makes up for a mediocre diet. It's just not out there. The number one exercise or supplement I could take, I could tell you right now, is what I call the push and close. And it means push the table away from you and close your mouth, because diet dictates all of this. You could train for a marathon. You could squat, stay in the squat rack all day long. But if you are not eating right, and you could take all the fat burners you want, if you are not eating a sound diet consistently for a prolonged period of time, you're just not going to get the results you want.
Thank you very much. Thanks for being here for the Psycho Body. Mike is in for Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat. That's next on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Adam Carolla joins us coming up after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. The Ace Man with This Week in Rage. Psycho Mike is in for Ralph Garman now with the Showbiz Beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
I'll never forget my time here at the Kevin and Bean Show. The best years of my life. Adam was doing This Week in Rage, and he started one with these words, and I quote, "Yeah, I got a bone to pick with Warner."
That's true.
I was like, wow, this man's a genius. He really...
Doesn't he have a regular feature, What Can't Adam Complain About, where people call up, and it doesn't matter. It could be sunshine, it could be puppies, whatever it is, he'll figure out a way to find the negative in it.
He's good at doing it, so stay tuned for that. Mr. Carolla coming up. Right now, filling in for Ralph, here is the Showbiz Beat. Leonardo DiCaprio is really the guy we should all model our lives after. And by that, I mean us men, Beer Mug. We have to do what we can do to be more like Leonardo DiCaprio, because it's like they say in jail, Lisa, snitches get stitches. He tells all his ladies, whether it be Bar Raffaele from the past or his current girlfriend, Victoria's Secret model Erin Heatherton, holy mackerel.
He does okay.
Star Magazine says he tells all his ladies, you keep your mouth shut when it comes to the life of Leonardo DiCaprio.
I'm sure he says it in a very nice way.
I don't care how he says it. He says the right things.
And they do.
I'll take you on my yacht out in the south of France, but you keep your mouth shut when it comes to the press. It's like Walt tells people in Breaking, you keep your mouth shut, Jesse. You're worried about danger coming to my family. I am the danger. I'm Gotham's reckoning. Jessica Biel, speaking of hot chick stuff, you normally see men getting really catty about the ex-boyfriends when it comes to like someone settling down. But now Jessica Biel, she is not. Oh, no. She is not catering to the idea of Cameron Diaz showing up to their wedding. Justin Timberlake's ex.
Did he invite her?
Well, according to Star Magazine, again, the actress does not want Justin Timberlake's ex, Cameron Diaz, at their wedding. JT and Cameron have stayed very close, but Jessica is putting her foot down when it comes to them sharing their wedding day together.
Well, it is her wedding.
This is a dodgy area, though. Yeah, it is her wedding, but isn't he already committing to her by agreeing to marry her? It seems kind of petty to say, I don't want you to be friends with an ex-girlfriend. You
She's
know
not
what I mean?
Saying I don't want you to be friends. She's saying I don't want her at the wedding.
Diaz is a close friend of Justin Timberlake, then he should be allowed to have his close friends at the wedding to see him get married.
Let me speculate as someone who has no credentials and should not do this, but I feel like most women are much less concerned about just sex when it comes to like a guy's past, where a guys really are. They could care less if you're emotionally attached to another guy. Just don't have sex with him. Right. If you've had sex with other guys in the past, that makes me feel icky. Jessica Biel is a million times hotter than Cameron Diaz, but Cameron Diaz seems like she had a much better connection with Justin Timberlake.
Fun, cool, likes to go to sports, she has a go surfing.
Vibrant personality.
Yeah, and that's what would drive her nuts.
Deadline just wrote an article about how Jessica Biel might not have any charisma, and that's why she's constantly doing these stinker movies, even though she's ridiculously beautiful. Cameron Diaz is charisma for days, and maybe Jessica Biel is saying, like, look, this girl's got me beat in everything when it comes to Justin being able to, like, really relate to her, and I don't want anything to do with her.
I don't want her holding court at my wedding.
Yeah,
I don't blame her.
We may have to extend this into a phone topic, because I got to tell you, Lisa, it's my wedding too. If I'm the groom, and you can't tell me who can and can't be there for my special day.
But if someone really makes me uncomfortable, and I would hope that I would respect that for you as well.
Look, I'm faced with it in my real life. I mean, my girlfriend has had way more handsome and rich guys in her past than me. Some of them celebrities, and some of them like way richer and cooler and better looking than I am. But I wouldn't mind her having any relationship with them now, as long as like they didn't abuse her. Like, if she's truly friendly with them, like, that's her past, that's her life.
Right.
I can't expect her to be held to any standard before she met me, and I think Jessica Biel should take a page out of the Psycho Mike book when it comes to being a mature adult.
Are we talking about a wedding, or are we talking about a friendship all the time? I'm just talking about the day of the wedding.
I'm just saying that it seems like Justin Timberlake and Cameron Diaz have stayed in pretty good graces. And maybe she legitimately is his friend.
If I'm Cameron Diaz and I have a whiff that she's going to be uncomfortable, I do the right thing. I stay away.
All right.
Plus, Cameron Diaz doesn't have Dwight Howard shoulders.
That's true. Jessica Biel does look like a white hot female Dwight Howard with her big Bane shoulders.
She does.
It's true.
Have you seen her in person?
I have.
She doesn't look.
She
like
does.
That.
No, she. I. Lisa. She makes my male parts want to explode like a sausage you leave in the microwave
That's
too
what
long.
She does.
She's amazingly beautiful, but she's Swole Patrol.
Dave was right.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I said,
and she doesn't have linebacker shoulders.
I said, Jessica Biel, what would happen if I trained with you? She said, it'd be painful for you. All right, and real quick, in other celebrity relationship news, Chad Ochocinco Johnson is an asshole. The end.
There you go.
Celebrity birthdays are as follows.
Anthony Anderson
is 42. Deborah Messing, 44. Ben Affleck, 40 years old. Joe Jonas of the Jonas Brothers, 23. Carlos Peña of Big Time Rush, 23 years old. And as I called her last Showbiz Report, the Poon Whale.
Yeah.
Jennifer Lawrence, 22 years old. You're a beautiful young lady. I love you. That is the Ralph Garman Showbiz Report.
Honestly, I don't think I could love Jack White any more than I do. The guy just fascinates me. Everything about him I love. He's just such an interesting dude. He's just such a great songwriter, great performer, great guitar player, just a smart guy. I just love him. White Stripes on K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. Speaking of guys I love.
Yes.
The Ace Man, Adam Carolla. AdamCarolla.com is where you go for all the podcasts and live show information, including Wednesday, August 22nd at the Irvine Improv. Tickets on sale now, not Taco Bell material. The latest book in stores and available for download. Ace Man, good morning.
Yeah, get it on.
Get it on indeed. Listen, we were just talking about you, Psycho Mike and I, a few minutes ago, talking about your awesome ability to complain about everything. And I know that for years you've had that what can't Adam complain about. Have you ever been stumped? Has there ever been something that somebody has brought up that you haven't been able to see the dark side of?
I've never really hackneyed DJs asking me that question over and over again. Other than that, no.
That's the only one. All right. Well, I guess you put me in my place. Time for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, Bean, one could argue you put yourself in your own place way back in high school. But yeah, that's a different story for a different day. First off, watching the Olympics, starting at 3 and working my way up to number 1. Starting with the Olympics, I was watching a couple days ago. They had an inspirational story of Bishan Nelum. He's the sprinter who won the silver on the 4x4 whatever baton passing team there. And it's an inspirational story because he was a USC sprinter who was shot randomly by 3 shotgun blasts when he was just walking down the street, and they said he'd never run again, and now he is, here he is getting the Olympic silver. And I thought, this is an inspirational story for him and his Olympic silver, but it's a super, super horrible story for everyone else who lives in Los Angeles who realizes you can just be shot by walking down the street. I'm bummed out. I am incredibly bummed out by this inspirational story. I've never been more bummed out by an inspirational story because this guy at 19 was just walking down the street next to his college and some guys who he's never met before pulled up in a car and shot him 3 times with a shotgun. And I thought, I like these stories when they come out of, you know, war-torn Mozambique or something. I don't like them when they come from down the street. Yeah. I've never been more bummed out by an inspirational story.
That's an excellent point.
And somebody has to start telling these gangbangers, and by the way, these were just gangbangers and they got the wrong guy. Somebody's got to get these guys some training, because I feel like they shoot more USC students by mistake and more kids in their cribs than they actually shoot each other. Somebody's got to get these guys some, and I'm not saying we get the military involved there, but somebody's got to get these guys on target. And I started thinking about, you know, everyone hates the Crips and the Bloods because they're constantly shooting innocent people. And then I realized, you know, you guys, Crips and Bloods, I know a fair amount of you are listening to the station, you'd do yourself a favor if you just shot Crips and Bloods. Like, we wouldn't have a problem with you if you just shot Crips and Bloods. And then I thought, you know who the white version of the Crips and Bloods are? The Hatfields and the McCoys. They just shoot each other, and we're amused by it, right?
Interesting. Great
point. We have no problem. Does anyone have a problem with the Hatfields and or the McCoys?
Yeah, no. Didn't affect us.
You want to know why? They shoot each other.
Yeah.
Is your last name Hatfield or McCoy? No. Problem. No problems. Walk down
you're
the street with impunity.
And then Kevin Costner makes a movie about you, and everybody's happy, and everybody loves it. It's the feel-good hit of the year.
That's right. So listen, Crips, Bloods, do your due diligence before you go out shooting, would you? I don't need I'm going to kill myself if I hear another inspirational story.
Excellent point.
Also, number two, speaking of depression, I've been passing these billboards, Beanie. I don't know if they're probably outlawed in Seattle, but out here, this Darksiders 2, Death Lives. It's basically Beelzebub on a donkey.
I have not seen that. Is that a movie, Ace?
No, it's a video game. And okay. It's like this super eerie, dark picture of this death just on a horse, and it's on every corner. And I just thought, oh, I'm so bummed out. I'm depressed enough driving around L.A. with all the graffiti and all the barbed wire around all the freeway signs. And, by the way, pulling up behind the gardener's truck that has the Rest in Peace Chewy written in old English lettering on the rear window. It's bad enough, and somebody's got to put an end to this. And what happened to just like Miss Pac-Man and the Mario Brothers? When did we get all weird and morbid and dark and freaky? Like, remember Batman used to be Batman, and Spider-Man was Spider-Man, and video games were video games? When did it get all dark and weird?
Yeah, about 20 years ago, Adam. It's been coming on pretty fast. But you're right. There's nothing that Hollywood can't take and make worse. You're right about that.
And like I said, I know it sounds catchy, Death Liz, but what does that really mean exactly? Last I checked, if you were alive, you weren't dead, and thus you were okay. Death Lives really means nothing to me. But stop bumming me out. And like I said, nothing worse. Back in the day, they had the Red Dead Redemption ones, where the homo in the cut-off vest would just sit there holding a shotgun at my kids while we sat at the stoplight. So somebody's got to get involved with it. And speaking of kids, last but not least, I complained in the past, we are simultaneously the smartest and dumbest people on the planet. I complained in the past that my kids, when they were little, would get plastic carrots and plastic corn, and they'd put it in their mouth, and then I'd slap it out of their mouth and go, no, don't eat that. No, that's a toy. You don't eat that. You don't eat that. And then 5 minutes later, we'd be sitting around the dinner table, and I'd be screaming, eat your corn, eat your carrots. Is there a more confusing message you can give to a three-year-old than slapping something out of their hands and saying, don't put that in your mouth, and then taking an exact facsimile of that moments later and saying, would you eat it? Eat it or you're going to be punished. Well, that is given way now. I just walked in, you know, it's 1,000 degrees. I live up in the hills. There's rattlesnakes everywhere. I just walked into the den, and there's fake rattlesnakes all over the floor and fake spiders all over the floor. And I'm just saying, can we manufacture something that doesn't either choke the kids or scare the bejesus out of me? Can we just have a – what happened to rocket ships? Can we just have a rocket ship? I'm never going to turn the corner in my bathroom, walk into the den at night and go, oh, my God, there's a rocket ship. No, I'll go, oh, that's a toy. That's a toy. But the rattlesnake, you will get me with the rattlesnake, and you will get me with the giant tarantula. What are we doing to ourselves here?
It does sound like we're creating a lot of problems where they didn't exist before. See, this is why your mind is so troubled, because you think of this stuff. The rest of us are just going through life blissfully ignorant, Adam, until you point this stuff out to us. So thanks a lot.
I must hit myself on the head with a coconut so I can't be affected anymore.
AdamCarolla.com is the place to go to download the world's greatest podcast and most listened to, according to the Guinness Book of World Records. See Adam on stage, Irvine Improv, August the 22nd. Just $25. Tickets available now through same site and not Taco Bell material is the book. Adam, you're the best, man. Talk to you next week.
Thank you,
Ralph. And I hope everyone will join us tomorrow for an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. It's a good one. John Henson is going to be here. Of course, the star, the host of Wipeout on ABC. Love John. Always good to see him. Dr. Drew on the program tomorrow. How about this? Paul Scheer in studio talking about his show, which is hilarious. That comes on after Children's Hospital on Adult Swim. NTSFSDSUV. Awesome. I will try to say that three times fast tomorrow. We got a brand new internet roundup and an actual American hero. The track and field star Allison Felix is going to be joining us in studio. I think she won 3 gold medals at the Olympics.
And I hope she brings them.
I hope she does too. I've never seen one in person, and I won't tomorrow if she brings it, but you will. I just, there's something about going and winning an Olympic gold medal that just, you know, how can you not be impressed by that? I mean, you have to pretty much dedicate your whole life to having the opportunity to even compete for one. And then you're up against every country in the world. It's just, it's a great story. And I'm very excited to meet Allison. That's going to be tomorrow right here on an all new Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.